Podcast.
September the 30th is International Podcast Day, a celebration of the power of podcasts. Now, obviously, as a podcaster, I wanted to mark this day, but if you've listened for a while, you'll know I'm an avid listener of podcasts. So to mark this special day, we're doing something a little different on the podcast. So have a listen.
Friday the 30th of September is International Podcast Day. So in this week's edition of Pippa's Podcast, we're taking a look at why more and more people are listening to podcasts. And as part of that, as Pippa's Podcast's focus on Argyll and Bute Council, we'll consider too what the key questions are facing local government today. Now, regular listeners to Pippa's Podcasts will, I'm sure, have spotted that I'm not Pippa. I'm Jane Jarvie. I'm the Council's Communications Manager. And as Pippa is our resident expert on all things podcasts, I have the pleasure this week of being the one to ask questions, Pippa's normal role, so that Pippa can tell us all about the wonder of podcasts. So, Pippa, welcome to your own podcast.
Thank you. This is a turn up for the books. I'm still getting used to whether it's I feel comfortable getting asked the questions rather than asking them, but this is going to be fun.
Well, we'll find out how comfortable you are, I think, just straight away. We'll just get right on with it with our first question. We all have a lot of choice in terms of what we listen to or watch or read. So amidst all of that choice, what makes podcasts a good choice?
Well, for me, it's something when I'm travelling, which obviously can do quite a lot of and getting around and about Argyll and Bute. And there's so much choice. I think there's literally something for everyone, I think, in terms of all the topics that are covered. So I just love being able to pick my topic and the time and the place when I listen to it, and depending on my mood, and it helps pass the long journeys.
Can you give us an idea of what you mean by choice, something for everyone? What kinds of things do you listen to?
Oh, I have a range. So obviously there's a lot going on in the world at the moment. So I listen to quite a few news podcasts, but I listen to ones about sort of leadership and personal development, onto things like one of my favourites was 13 Minutes to the Moon, all about the last 30 minutes of the Apollo 11 mission just before they landed on the moon, to you know, some fiction ones as well. So I've got quite a range. I normally have a list of things ready to listen to that's longer than my time available. And I suppose people who know me well will know I'm a big West Wing fan. So one of my my favourite discoveries was the West Wing Weekly, which is a podcast that commentates on each and every episode that was ever made of the West Wing, my favourite American political drama. So that's a real nerdy one for West Wing fans.
Well, give us an idea then in terms of what you get from everything you listen to. Can you give us an example, say, of something you've heard in a podcast that's inspired you?
So, oh gosh, there's so many. So I'm thinking, I suppose I listen to quite a lot of leadership ones, and people at work will be well used to me coming and go, I was listening to a podcast and... and I suppose one I listened to, and dreadful because I can't credit the person that was being interviewed, I've forgotten exactly who it was, but they talked about saying yes, if rather than no but. And I've used that a lot with people in terms of how we approach customer care and engaging with communities, and even with each other, of trying to look at it from the how could we do something rather than this is why we can't do something. So that's been one of my most lasting messages, I think, I've taken from them.
Good one. And what about something that you've learned or found useful, say about health or wealth, two things we all think about at some point?
I think for health, I've started recently listening to a podcast called the High Performance Podcast. And I think that has an overriding message of high performance is it's not about success or wealth. It's actually about it's actually about looking after your well-being and your happiness, doing your best in whatever you do. So it's that more rounded sort of approach to your own well-being rather than, you know, having to chase fame or fortune, I suppose.
And do they give you an idea of how to apply that? Because that all sounds very great, but it's also quite forgettable if you sit down at your desk when you log on in the morning if you've got a desk-based job.
I think a lot of the ones that I listen to like that will interview somebody and get their perspective on it. So, that was interesting. Some of the things that they've talked about with the people they've interviewed is the importance about how you engage with people and you valuing other people, being true to your being authentic in terms of your own values. So those sorts of things. I mean, some are much more practical in terms of things like how to change habits and doing little and often and being set realistic targets rather than great leaps forward. That's another one that's stuck with me. So some of them talk about books, and I'll go on and sort of read the book in a little bit more detail and things as well. So I also have a big pile of books to go with my podcasts that's bigger than the time I have available.
That was something I was going to ask. I mean, as chief exec, everybody's busy, but I mean, you as well, your to-do list must always be long all the time. So how do you actually fit in listening to podcasts?
As I said, when I'm traveling, I do that. So on the way to and from work, if I'm traveling about the area and things, if I can't sleep at night,
okay,
I do podcasts as well. So I generally pick something other than the leadershipy ones and things, something a little bit more. And I do audiobooks as well as like reading books to try and fit that in. So I'm a bit with my podcasts, my books, it's a bit of sort of eyes bigger than my stomach kind of Okay. Territory. So I haven't got any superhuman sort of tips of how to fit it all in. I do what I can when I can, and I'm also trying to give myself a bit of a pass. If you can't read everything you set out to, it's like that's one or the other, and I couldn't point to one individual podcast or episode, but I think a general bit is, be kind to yourself, because we can only do so much, and you've got to be a bit realistic.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear, because what you've outlined so far sounds really useful, but quite serious to some extent. I take it there are podcasts out there just for fun.
Yeah, well, so that's why I like the 15 minutes, was it? Did I say 15 minutes? Yeah. 13 minutes.
To the moon.
Mm-hmm. 13 minutes to the moon, because I love all the Apollo films and things. So that was really interesting. The West Wing one is a bit of an indulgence. I like some of the ones that have been sort of serialized dramas.
Okay.
If you like. So Passenger List was about a sort of a plane going missing and a mystery. So some of those kind of things. I've even got on here my I'm just scrolling through my list of my library of stuff, and I have some stuff in here of like a bit true crime, Dolly Parton's America, even.
Fantastic.
quite an eclectic mix. I'm trying to think what else I've got. An interiors podcast, The Great Indoors. And I quite like the one I tend to go to when I late at night if I can't sleep is 99% Invisible, which picks up really strange, eclectic sort of issues and tells you the background to stuff. So I know it will sound really weird to people, but one I ended up listening to was about why sand is so important globally and how there's a growing shortage of the right kind of sand for building it. These kind of things that you never really knew, but they're kind of, I say, almost these little factoids that they delve into. So, yeah, I've got quite a lot of kind of more fun or weird and wonderful ones that are not work-related.
Sounds good. If we're looking at your podcast, the one you started primarily focusing on Argyll and Bute Council, what do you want listeners to take from that or get from listening to Pippa's podcast?
I suppose when I came into the job, my predecessor had done a blog, and I'm not the world's greatest writer. Certainly, I don't do sort of the more humorous writing that Cleland was quite good at. So I was thinking what was authentic to me, and I suppose being a lover of podcasts, that came up. And it came up when we were in COVID, and I suppose I was reflecting that I get to have a lot of really interesting conversations with people about either the work that they do or things that are going on in the area or relevant to the area, and actually share some of that inside a conversation and the nuance that you get from that and the sense of the real people behind the story. So it was really wanting to get informal conversations as you can, so that you know that more depth of the what's behind the stories or the briefing or the social media posts that we put out, and the real people that are part of that. Because you know, I know you know this, that we talk a lot of the council's not really a thing, it's a collection of people that deliver, you know, all the services across the area and do great stuff every day. So kind of getting that across, you know, the real people that make up the council, really.
That's nice. It kind of ties in with what you're saying about the podcast 99% Invisible. It's about making visible a lot of the efforts.
Yeah
that people are going to. Yep. I mean, already in our chat, it's obvious that podcasts often give points or raise points for discussion. As chief exec of a council, what would you say the key issues are facing local government just now? What are the key questions we should all be considering and discussing about local government?
I think, I mean, a big one just now is cost of living crisis, both because of the impact that's having on all our residents, the higher levels of fuel poverty, the higher cost of living that we see in the area. And that's also putting a pressure on the spending power of the council as well, and what we have to deal with. So I think that's a very real, timely issue. I think there are some big issues around public sector reform and the work that's going on to develop the new National Care Service, which will have wider implications beyond that. So starting to think, what does the shape of local public service and local government look like to meet our needs in the future, you know, with all of those challenges. And the other big one that I think everybody's very aware of just now is the climate challenge that we've got and the real big issues that will be associated with trying to respond to that, because it's, you know, to do everything that you would ideally do is, you know, could be very expensive. So how do we look and be as creative as possible of moving forward our aspirations to be climate neutral? And, you know, it's an area with a lot of coastline, that's a pretty real issue for a lot of our communities as well.
So big issues and to some extent solving them sounding a bit potentially contradictory. So what are your thoughts on how we all reach solutions or best next steps?
I think we have to, I'm a great believer in the power of conversation, and I think a lot of it we need to continue to engage and talk about the solutions. None of these things are easy to do. I think a lot of the things you can be complementary. If we look at cost of living issues and climate change, you know, if we can do more to insulate our homes, reduce our demand for energy and things, then you know, those two work hand in glove. So you know, we do have to look differently at, you know, is it the council that delivers all these services? How do we work with communities? How do we work with private sector? How do we work with central government? This also has to be about partnerships. When we're just reviewing our outcome improvement plan, which is our sort of contract with government and with other public service in that work in the area. And, you know, that we've always said that's always about partnership. We can't achieve our objectives as any one organisation working alone. So I think, you know, that has to continue to be a key part of it.
Thanks. Sounds as if you've got quite a few topics in there for some future Pippa's podcast. I'll pick up on the partnerships, because putting together Pippa's podcast's a bit of a family affair for you, isn't it?
Yes. So I roped my husband in. He does the editing. He adds the music and does that for every episode. So yes, I'm not sure he realised quite what he was agreeing to when he signed up to do the first one, but I keep him busy.
Oh, well, there you go. A shout out to John then, and a thank you for his invisible role in taking our Gail and Butte Council into the world of podcasts. And I think actually we've raced through our questions. We've covered quite a few different points. I think maybe to conclude, Pippa, I would ask you to just remind us again, sum up why we should all get more involved in podcasting.
I think it's a massive resource of loads of entertainment and valuable learning, and anything that continues to stimulate the conversation and gets our curiosity going and keeps us sort of interested in the world and the solutions that we can find to some of our challenges, I think is worth a listen. And I say, and they're fun as well. It's a bit of fun.
Fabulous. Okay. Thank you very much, Pippa.
No, thank you. That wasn't painful at all. Great questions. Thanks, Jane.
Thank you.
Massive thank you to Jane Jarvie, our communications manager, for helping with today's podcast. It was fantastic fun to be on the other side of the conversation, answering rather than asking the questions. And please go and check out podcasts. There really is something for everything. They're fantastic. And please recommend these podcasts to friends and family. Look forward to speaking to you again soon. Podcast.